Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Hey, we love to connect with our listeners. If you want to reach out to us, we have an email address, hannahsheart@afa.net. We love your show ideas. We'll take your prayer requests. We love your praise reports.
That's right.
And we just like to connect with you. And this is a show for couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage, or maybe God's leading you to foster or adopt. We want to encourage you along that journey and know that you are not alone and God is enough, and you can cling to Christ through any stage of the journey that you're in.
That's right. So today we're doing like a part two episode.
Yes.
From last week's episode. I still encourage you to listen today if you haven't listened to last week's, but definitely go back to last week to listen to the first part of this sweet lady's story. We have Miss Sharon on, and she dove into talking about her infertility story and just all of that involved, and we got to the tip end.
Teary-eyed like four times.
Oh, yeah. I got chills like three times. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Hearing the way that she just laid down and surrendered that dream and then allowed God to replace it with a different dream.
That's right.
And we didn't get to really talk about what that different dream looked like. So that's
But that sounds so
today.
Scary. You know, when people would tell me that before I got, I don't know if you say the end of infertility, but before having our adopted and now biological children, that scared me, talking about how letting the Lord change my dreams or, you know, desires.
Risky business.
Because you're like, well, but I want a baby, so there's not much changing that. But the way she talked about it and the way that she let the Holy Spirit lead her heart is just beautiful. And so, Miss Sharon, we're glad to have you back on.
I'm so happy to be here.
Well, you painted this beautiful picture of this moment where you had this very real conversation with God, where you said, God, I'm going to let go of this promise, of this dream that I have, and I will mother anyone that you bring to me.
That's right.
And then, holy moly, did he start bringing some people. You referenced in the last show that you have adopted 9 children. You've fostered a total of 19 so far. Is that right?
Yes.
My head is spinning. My head is spinning at all of the life stories that you have to share with us. Uh-huh. What a crazy story.
We fostered 6, and like I felt like that was a lot. But then, 19.
It is a lot. Yeah.
19 children.
Well, for those who missed, let's go back to Noah's story just really, really briefly, and how from Noah the Lord led you into that world of ending up in foster and adopting.
Yes. So when Noah was born, that was it. He was my dream fulfilled, my promise fulfilled. Mm. I'm a mama. I'm never going to ask the Lord for another child. Thank you, God.
And you got to be in the room with him when he was delivered and all of it. Okay.
I cut his cord, stimulated lactation, and breastfed him. It was the most amazing of all experiences in my lifetime. But what I realized when Noah was about a year old, I was like, I still have that emptiness inside of me that's longing for a child. And I'm like, what is wrong with
me? Back.
Yep. And I felt guilty.
Yep. I remember feeling that same way. Just, I don't understand this.
Lord. No. And I was like, Lord, forgive me. I told you I would never ask for a child again, but that I would mother everyone you put in my life for the rest of my life. Is there more? And I was like almost ashamed to take it to God because I felt like I should be completely fulfilled and not have these feelings. But yet, when I would hear a baby cry or somebody would show me their ultrasound picture everything that happened with the child, I'm like, why am I still feeling that? And I finally said, Lord, if there's more, you're going to have to show me because I made a promise to you And I don't want to break that. And I want to hold up my end of the bargain. You've beautifully held up your end by bringing Noah. But why do I still feel this? So when Noah was 5 years old, we found out that his biological mother had given birth to 3 other children.
Wow.
And so we also found out that they were in the foster care system.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reached out to that biological mother. I actually saw her walking down the street and pulled over and started talking to her.
Wow.
And she started telling me about it all. And I said, how can we help? And she said, will you help me get them back? And I said, well, we'll do everything we can. So we started in a legal battle and trying to be her support system. But what we saw was it was not going to be possible for them to return. So we said we would take the children. And it was a long battle. It didn't come to fruition at that time. But in that process, we became a licensed foster home in preparation for taking those children, should that be the outcome. So when that case was over, we were disappointed. Lord, we thought we were in your will. What did we miss? What just happened here? You know, we're all affected with grief and loss. It felt like we lost children again after losing children through in vitro and all the journey we'd been on. I thought, I just can't take any more grief. But Lord, I know you know, and I know you see what I can't see. So we got a phone call. We know it's been hard for you. This was the Department of Child Services. We know this has been hard for you. We know you're a licensed foster home. We know you're a nurse. We know what kind of mom and dad you are. Would you be willing to take a very sick little baby girl? And we said, sure. There wasn't a moment that it was an instant yes. And she came to us very, very sick with severe shaken baby syndrome.
Oh, goodness.
It was terrible. She had seizures and blind in her left eye from trauma, and she was 9 weeks old. And I can tell you that the moment I laid eyes on her, the exact feelings first saw Noah. And I knew in my heart of hearts, she was here to stay. And my husband was like, now, babe, you know, it's always the goal to reunify. I said, oh, I know that. But I also know that God didn't give me the rush of emotion I just got. I know that. And I think that's a really big fear for families who want to go into foster care.
Yeah.
Well, what if I love them? And what if they reunify? You have to know that the goal is always reunification. Always. For any child that's in the foster care system, it is always reunification.
Yeah.
Now, that may not come to be, but that has to be the goal initially.
When people say that
to
me,
we knew that.
I always tell when people say, you know, I'm just scared. I'm going to love them too much. I'm going to get too attached.
Yeah.
I say, well, that lets you know you're perfect for the calls then, because
that's
what we're called to do, you know, is to love those babies like our own.
But it also sounds like your heart was positioned in the perfect place to be able, because you had already surrendered your dream. This was not about fulfilling your needs. This was about being a servant to God, no matter what that looked like. So your heart was positioned to be obedient to him, even if it hurt.
Right. And I think that's what we need to say. If you're going into foster care, no, it's not without pain. You are going to love those babies.
Yeah.
No matter if they're 2 weeks old or 18, 17 years old, when they come to you and you accept the call to be an anchor for them, it's not without pain. When you love, you have to be willing to love with pain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the minute they come through your door, it's important to show them the love of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that's going to look like, whether they stay a week, a month, a year, 2 years, or forever, show them unconditional love of Jesus. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what I want to say to anyone willing to foster. Well, but what if my heart breaks? It will break.
Mm.
We have fostered 19 and 11 of them reunified. We're thankful for that. But was it without heartbreak to us? I mean, we could be happy that there was some reunification, but we were still sad that they were no longer with us every day.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And we saw our children have some grief and loss. There was one brother, sister that my children, two of my children, still to this day, call them their brother and sister. Mm-hmm. They loved one another deeply, and they dealt with some grief and loss when they reunified.
Wow. Yeah.
And we had to work through that with our kids, but we showed them that ministry, and this is ministry.
That's right.
Can come with heartache, but you have to love the Lord enough to do what he calls you, even if it has a cost to you.
That's a powerful statement. I've heard a lot of people too, you know, they're worried about how it's going to affect their biological children. And it does. I still, my little boy, he still talks about two kiddos that we had in our home and that he misses, and he doesn't understand why they're not living with us anymore. But I do think that they're just watching us be on the mission field in our home, you know?
Yes.
And yeah,
it is a mission field.
It is. We even say the same thing about Hannah's heart, how much it's been good for us to be on Hannah's heart more than what we thought it was going to be. But I would say that as a foster parent as well, being a foster parent gave me so much more than what I thought it would ever give me, you know?
Miss
Sharon, how did you process some of the anger that like naturally would rise in your heart when you see how children have been mistreated? Like for me, just hearing that you had a 9-month-old baby come into your house that had been shaken into illness, there's these natural feelings that rise up, let alone, you know, you're trying to love the biological parents, but you're also seeing the way these children have been treated. I think a lot of Christian couples struggle with anger.
It's hard not to.
And we did. So first of all, she was 9 weeks old.
Oh, 9 weeks. I'm
not
sorry.
9 months.
Oh, my word.
And she had 3 very traumatic incidents of shaking that they could tell by the blood that they aspirated from her bulging fontanelle. Some was very old, some was moderately old, and some was fresh. So they, the child abuse expert here in our state, said 1 week, 5 weeks, and within 12 hours for those 3 episodes. So it was
And that
serious.
Makes me sick. Gosh.
And so it was. It was really hard, and I didn't know how I would respond when I met those very young parents, 16 and 18 years old. But when I did, that mother instinct in me took over, and I thought, what must have happened to you to bring you where you are? What has happened to you? And that's where I've tried as a foster parent to always look, and I do this with the children and the adults, look past the what is happening and try to get to the why.
That's so good.
What must have happened to you that you don't have enough self-control or enough boundary that you stepped out into this area and caused this harm to a baby, to a child? To someone that you're supposed to love and protect, what's happened to you? And so I have to take that back to my prayer time. Lord, I don't understand how at this visit, dad said X, Y, Z to that child, and now they come home broken to me, and I'm picking up the pieces.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's my role as a foster parent to do that.
Yep.
But I just have to keep taking it back to the cross and say, but for the grace of God, go I. Lord, help me to have mercy and grace for that family. Help me to pray so that they all become the best they can be, even if that doesn't mean that I get to see this child grow up, or if it means that child doesn't get to be with their family of origin.
Mm-hmm.
Help me have the grace and be healing to both sides.
Yeah.
And for me, I made it my mission to have some safe contact with the biological parents. Sometimes you can't let them know where the child is, right? I wouldn't want him to know my address. But I thought if it were me, I would just want to know that they're safe, you know? And so I always provided my cell phone number and said, you're welcome to text me. There was one time I had to block a number because she didn't have good boundaries herself, right? And couldn't stay within what we said was okay in the case plan with the case manager, all approved, right?
Yeah.
But if you just want to, hey, you know, she wasn't feeling good at our last visit. Is she okay? Yeah, Mama, she's good. She's fine. She went to school today. She's giggling and playing right now. I'll let her know we had some contact and you were thinking about her. Things like that, you will find that as a foster parent, you might be able to get information for your child that they won't give a caseworker, right? So the holidays are coming now, right? We're in that season of the year where we're going to have our big holidays. Did you have a particular tradition you did at Thanksgiving or Christmas? Is there something special I could do for little Johnny or little Jill that would make them not feel so grieved being out of the house? You have to get beyond your own flesh sometimes and look at it in a bigger picture. And I found that I could find out a child's favorite food or a little something they always did, and I could bring comfort to that child and maybe cause mom, because a lot of times you're dealing with just mom. Sometimes dad's not around. And I could make an inroad with mom to where I could help her a little bit, know that the child was safe and I'm not the enemy as a foster parent. Don't look at me as the enemy. I'm someone that's caring for your child, and I want to have a trust with you. That's very, very important. But there were days afterward I'd be like, want to pull my hair out. I can't believe what she said in that case conference. I can't believe what she said about her child. And I had to let myself feel that and express that in a safe place, whether it was to my husband or maybe to the caseworker privately. And then I had to let it go and say, okay, what's best to operate? What's in the best interest of the child? And that's best served by being in the will of God and following his characteristics. Yeah. Feeling that anger and letting it go.
Yeah. So did this sweet baby, did she end up getting adopted, or what was her story?
Yes. She came to us at 9 weeks old. She is now 15, learning to drive, a sophomore in high school.
Oh, my word. Look at her.
And she is beautiful and funny. And, you know, we were told, so she had cerebral palsy, seizure disorder, blind in her left eye. She was never going to be able to go to school. She started walking with braces. She would never run or dance. You should see my girl dance.
Oh.
All the ballet lessons. She's a beautiful singer. She's on our praise team. She goes to a Christian competition every year in May in Gatlinburg and competes in voice. And she's got a bright future ahead of her. We had a long couple of years, but the Lord has completely healed her of all.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Medical trauma. Yeah, God is so good. And we have another child who came to us with childhood leukemia, childhood cancer. And we went through that, and she's been in remission now for 3 years.
Awesome.
So God has brought us our little boy, who will be 12 in January, was 6 months old. He was born to an HIV-positive mother, and we did not know when he came if he would convert to HIV-positive. Obviously, he has not.
Wow.
And we have a house of miracles here.
Yeah, sounds like
we really
it.
Do. We really do.
What are some
and
of the...
Our,
oh, you could. Sorry, I keep interrupting you. You have so much to share. I think about a lot of our listeners might have a lot of concerns about adopting a child that has medical backgrounds. What were some of your all's initial fears, and how did the Lord equip you to be able to deal with all of those special kind of needs?
Well, fortunately, I'm a registered nurse. So even though I had a comfort level, it's very different with being out in your career and working professionally and taking care of things than, hey, I'm mommy and the buck stops here.
Wow.
And this is in my home now 24/7. And so I had to reconcile that within myself. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, if you're going to be a foster parent, really search your heart before you ever take your first child and know what you will and won't accept, what you can and cannot do. Know your limits and then hold to that, because what can happen is the need is so, so great for good homes, for Christian homes, for safe homes for these kids to heal and to thrive and grow in, that you will feel pressure to take a child. Well, I wasn't going to take a child that had been through that because I don't know that I can deal with that. Oh, but we need a home. We've already called 4 other people. Are you sure you can't take them just for the weekend? Hold your ground, because you want to be the best you can be for that child, right?
Yeah. Wow.
And the Lord will pair you up with just who you're supposed to be paired up. I really believe that.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, insist that, okay, if that's what you want me to do, what training are you going to give me? What's the resource I will have for this child? Because I don't know anything about that, or I know very little, and I want to know more.
Wow.
For us, you know, it's been a big thing here, and it's not medical, but it's cultural. Our children, 4 of our children are biracial, and their hair is very different than my hair. And I had to learn how to take care of their hair and keep it beautiful just the way God made it. And that was different for me. And so I've done a lot of research, and we pay someone to professionally braid our girls' hair, and we've researched products. And that was a big deal for us because we want to keep their hair beautiful, right?
Yeah.
And so just ask for resources. That's very important as a foster family. And sometimes you think, I think there's a misconception that all of these children are wild. They've not been treated right. They have all these behavioral issues. They're just children.
They're just children.
And you know what every child wants? In my experience, every child wants a mom, a dad, and a dog.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That's so true.
They want a mom, a dad, and a dog. They want to be like everybody else. They want to have a normal. And a lot of these kids have never had a normal. All they've seen is what they see on TV or a movie, and they want that. Give that to them. Give them structure. Give them a safe place. You're not going to be yelled at. You're not going to be struck. You're not going to see me laying on the couch and you can't wake me up. We're going to have dinner every day, and you're never going to be hungry. And you just, they don't have a pause button. You know, these adults, and none of the adults wanted this for their kids. I know that.
Right.
It's just circumstances that brought them where they are. But those children don't have a pause button while the adult's trying to get it together.
Yeah.
You can't just push their belly button and say, I need you to be on pause for about 18 months or 2 years or 5 years. That just doesn't. It's not.
Yeah.
Give them everything you can give them. So even if they leave you, they'll never forget the love of Christ that they felt when they were in your presence. They'll never forget the sanctity of going to that church house and being in Sunday school and being high-fived and given a piece of candy and told about the love of Jesus. They'll never forget it. They'll never forget it. And just remember that this, like you said, is a mission field, Anne, and treat it as such. And maybe they'll stay 6 months and maybe they'll be here forever, like nine of ours. So
that's still so amazing.
What sort of encouragement would you give to parents? We've talked to a couple couples that they were concerned about how to discipline and raise children with some of the constraints of the foster care system, feeling like there was a biblical model that they had that they were wanting to follow, but then there were all of these red tape and restrictions and things that kind of counteracted what the approach they would naturally want to take.
Yeah. There is absolutely zero ability to spank a child that's in foster care. It's absolutely off the table.
Yeah.
So you have to really be creative. We have established along the way four golden rules in our house. The first one is no freaking out, number one. I don't care what's going on. Don't freak out. We will handle this.
I love that.
That's a great rule.
I'm about to write these down.
Rule, kids. They will all say no freaking out. Number two, leave it better than you find it. Don't come in here and make a mess everywhere. When you're done, pick it up, put it away. Leave it better than you find it. That goes for at church, at school, at a restaurant, wherever. Leave it better than you find it. Number three, do all your have-tos you have to. Then you can do all your want-tos you want to. Do what's required of you, and then the rest of the day is yours. Make your bed, brush your teeth, have some breakfast, get dressed, put your clothes in the laundry bin. You're good to go. Off you go, you know. Come home from school, get your snack, do your homework. Ask mom and dad if they have anything they need to do. And then the rest of the evening's yours. It's yours. Go do it. So that's easy. And then number four is where you were going. This is the big one for us. If it matters for eternity, it matters. Yeah, that's when discipline comes in. If you are lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping, any of those things, taking the Lord's name in vain, whatever it is, that's where we have to come to discipline. And it's so very important that, what do they say, that punishment fits the crime. You did not make your bed, and I told you to do that. You're grounded for a week. That makes no sense.
yeah.
But you know what? Hey, where did you get that matchbox car from? Oh, I don't know, and you can tell. It's not being honest. Where did that come from? Well, it comes out that you saw little Johnny have that, and you wanted it, so you took it and you put it in your pocket. Oh my gosh, do you know that that's stealing? Maybe you didn't know. So we have to talk about this. Now, you're going to have to take that back to Johnny, and you're going to have to tell him to his face that you took his car and that you're sorry and that you'll never do that again. And, you know, you may have to take one of your cars to give him as well, whatever we think matches it. And you have to be very careful. And children that have suffered trauma, you have to be very careful. Know their trauma. Was their trauma, were they beaten?
Right.
You know, you could never come at them in a way that they think you're going to hit them.
Yeah.
If that's been the case, you have to always know their case history to the best of your ability.
Well, Ms. Sharon Aikman, you are also an author. Will you tell us the name of your book real quick?
Childless No More. You can find it on Amazon in paperback, Audible, or Kindle.
That's
Childless
amazing.
No More by Sharon Aikman.
I love it. And I think we now know where the title came from.
Yes. Yeah.
Ms. Sharon, it has been such a pleasure to talk to you on the phone the last few weeks. And then now to have you on our show today. I can't thank you enough for coming on and telling your sweet story.
Yeah, what a gift. What a gift.
Honored to be here. Thank you so much.
And thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.